Thanks, man. Thanks for being. Thanks for turning out tonight. Well, listen, we have a real treat tonight. We're going to turn it over to Brian Simmons. This guy, I want to tell you something. Brian is a longtime friend of Charles and Ann's and a fairly longtime friend of our house here at Life Center. He's been in the kingdom over 30 years, probably 40 years. I don't even know. Maybe closing in on half a century. But, you know, there's some people that, well, so many of our folks are solid as they come. But Brian is just off the stage. He's as burning bright as he is on the stage. After 40, 50 years of being with the Lord, he's as burning hot with God as well as he is with his wife, Candace. And they just, I mean that in every good way, burning toward each other, toward God. They're just amazing. I'm not doing very good. But this guy, I mean, Brian, I want to just personally from the body of Christ thank you for your labor of love in translating the word of God into our lives. Man, so in our own house, we get over the kitchen table and just, Pat and I just talk like, did you see that translation that Brian wrote? Did you read the notations on the bottom? We did at our own house over coffee, we talk like this. So would you just welcome a great friend, a great man of God, a great gift of God, and just bless this man with us here tonight. It's an honor and it's a privilege and it's amazingly fun. So, thank you.
Wow, so kind. Be seated in that heavenly realm. Stay there forever. Come on, Harrisburg. Wow, this is awesome. Wednesday night, you got a storm coming and more ways than one. You know, the Hebrew word for gates, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. You better sit down for this one. It has another meaning. It's a homonym. You'll hear a lot about that tonight. It also can be translated storms. We enter his storms. Yeah, the stormy presence. Have you not read Ezekiel 1? The storm of the Lord is coming to America. And we're going to enter into that storm with thanksgiving. You got a wrong impression of storms. They bring the glory out of the fire. It increases the anointing of heaven when he rocks the world. Well, you guys are a little tired here on a Wednesday night. Good to see you all. My wife sends her greetings. She's here. She's in the city, but not here in the building tonight. She's got a woman's conference she's doing, and so she's prepping for that and getting all anointed for that. Wow. Man, I've got so much I want to share. I hope 6 hours will cover it. Put your hand over your heart. I'm sure you have one in there somewhere. And say, Lord Jesus, help me to learn what it means to be a lover, a follower, an example, and an inspiration to this world. I come up out of my wilderness, leaning into my beloved. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for hosting me here on a Wednesday night, and very excited about Genesis. I'm in the middle of Genesis right now. I'm doing spotted and speckled lambs. Genesis 31. What a crazy mystical chapter that is. I hope to have Genesis finished. Just emailed my publisher today and said April 1st it'll be done. So by September, October, something like that, you'll have it. Hopefully you'll read it. And read those footnotes and just see the awesome glory of God. You know, there's so much in the Bible, so much more than what any of us or all of us combined could ever understand. Do you know that? I see in the 7 days of creation, the 7 stages we pass through to become like Christ until we enter into the Sabbath and the Sabbath enters into us and we become the resting place of the divine. God himself finds another home, not a building of stone, but a heart that beats for him. And this entire Bible, there's so much more in the Word of God. And one of my passions in life is to help people connect with the Scripture, to connect with the God of Revelation, the God of glory. He's not boring. How many of you know that? And yeah, he's not. There's so many secrets And that's a biblical word. The secret of the Lord is with those that love him, fear him, worship him. There are 27 mysteries in the New Testament. The Greek word mysterion, it sounds like it is, mystery. 27 mysteries in the New Testament. And most believers don't know one or two of them. But, you know, if you're married, Paul says marriage is a mystery. And all the men said, amen. So there's 26 other ones that we need to find out. So there are secrets, there are mysteries in the Bible to demystify the Word of God, to de-supernaturalize the Word of God and hyper-literalize everything in Scripture is to miss God. Jesus was crucified in part because he spoke on a level they couldn't understand. Destroy this temple 3 days, I will build it up again, I will raise it again. When I translated the Gospels, that was the one statement that got him crucified. He spoke in allegory. They couldn't hear it and decided to kill him instead. They revered the temple. And you know, and they said, well, it took us 46 years to build this temple. And you're going to raise it up in 3 days? You see how they miss God? Please say yes. So help my insecurity. Okay. Isn't it interesting, our temple? 46 years to build that temple, but our temple has 46 chromosomes. Isn't it interesting? So there is a depth to the Word of God that this generation must be introduced to. And to hyper-literalize every Bible text, believe me, you will miss God. The Scriptures have an outside and inside. There's outwardly the shell, the written letters. Of course, that's why we memorize Bible verses. You know, I memorized books of the New Testament the first 2 years I was a believer. So I went into that Scripture memory thing, and I love it. It's wonderful to have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, isn't it? But the text itself must yield a revelation of the God who wrote it. The God who breathes upon the Word of God. I like to read the Bible until the breath hits my face. Until the breath of the Lord, the inspiration, God breathed Scripture, that the breath comes and hits me. Well, tonight I want to share about a really awesome, fantastic, joy-filled teaching on the wilderness. So my wife and I wrote this book, and we wanted to call it Miracles, and then small print, In Your Wilderness. But the publishers insisted, no, we're going to call it The Wilderness. I said, nobody's going to buy a book called The Wilderness. Well, a few people have. And I believe you're going to hear more and more about this teaching of the wilderness. God is going to redeem the seasons you have passed through in your life. And the true depth of the revelation of what you've learned is going to bring power into you. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for creativity, etzev, it means to be creative, is actually the same word as pain. And when God said to Eve, you know, in pain, you will bear children. You could actually translate that creativity is going to birth something from you. Pain in life is the incubator for miraculous creativity. You check out the worship songs of today. The revelatory teaching, artwork, drama, dance, whatever creative flow you step into, if you'll trace it back, it comes out of somebody's pain. It comes out of an owie somewhere. A place where a wound, a hurt, why did I have to go through that? In that dark moment, in that wilderness experience, creativity begins to soar. And who we are in him begins to come forth. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship. Some translations, craftsmanship. There's one that gets really close to the Greek word, and it is, we are his masterpiece. I like that. That's very close. But the Greek text is actually, we are his poema. Yes. We are the poetry of God. Yes. How does it feel to be the lyrics of love walking on two legs? A divine message that only you compose from your relationship with God. You're the one, only you contain the lyrics of that song. It's from you, from God to you, through you to the world. Everybody say to the person next to you, because they're having a grumpy night. Tell the person next to you, you're okay, but they're having a struggle. Tell them, you are God's poetry. You are God's poetry. In Song of Songs 8, verse 5. By the way, I just got back from a cruise. We had 100 people on the love boat. And for 7 days, I was teaching on the Song of Songs. Yeah. Once you come cruise with us next year, I think I'm going to do... We'll flip out with Philippians or something. 19 Reasons for Joy in the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians was Paul's thank you letter to a church that contributed to him, and he gave them 19 reasons for joy in that book. tptcruise.com, if you dare. So in Song of Songs 8, verse 5, the very end of the Shulamite journey, she starts out smelling like goats. She's kind of hung up. She's bitter. She's upset at the church because they make her work in the nursery all the time and hand out bulletins and the parking lot and take up offering. And you know, when is she going to get to do the stuff? But through the 8 chapters of this divine opera, she ends up coming up out of her wilderness, leaning into her beloved. That's the only way you get out of your wilderness. Now, the word wilderness or desert, same thing. The word wilderness comes from a Hebrew word that means to speak. It's a nominalized verb, which means simply the wilderness is the place of speaking. When God wants to say something to you that maybe you're not hearing, he has a special place for you where you will hear it clearly. In the howling wind, in the dusty, dry, kicking sand of your tedious days, there he will encounter you like he did Moses, like he did Elijah, like he did even Jesus, who had a wilderness experience. Just as the wilderness is part of the natural realm around us, deserts, barren places, as well as just like wilderness, like Maine, you know, as the natural realm has places like that, so the spiritual realm does as well. And I believe 2019 is going to be a year where God actually gives you insight and revelation like you've never had before about why you went through what you went through. Why am I in that situation? Why am I feeling limited, constrained, held back, on pause, in a waiting room? On and on we could go. You know how many times you read the book of Psalms and David really bears his heart. You know, how long, oh God? Why? When? How? Where? And the end of the psalm, he ends up praising and thanking and blessing God. And I think we're going to find a lot of loose ends coming together in 2019. Anybody excited about that? And you're going to tap into the creativeness, the creativity that's in you. Some of you will be writing. I mean, can you imagine having your house catch on fire? I mean, some of you will be writing about the trauma, what you had to go through. Those of you that aren't part of Life Center actually happened to some of the pastors here. Wake up at 3 a.m. and their house is on fire. They're still living in rented, whatever, back of the van, something like that. No. So my experience with the wilderness is that I've been there. My wife and I actually lived in one for years. We were tribal missionaries where there was nothing but rainforest and a few hundred hellbound people that really needed Jesus. And in that wilderness encounter, the Lord de-selfed me. He began to show me. You know, I'll never forget. Probably the lowest moment was one night under a mosquito net crying out to God, Lord, you've got to break through this village. You've got to touch the hearts of these people. You've got to do the miracles you told me you would do. You brought me here to reach these people. And God said, no, I didn't. I brought you here to reach you. And if I could reach you, I could reach anyone. Shut the front door. You know, our daughter nearly died with a snake bite. We lost about everything in an overturned canoe on a flooding river. And I could go on and on about our stuff. You got stuff too. I mean, if you had the microphone and you were to tell us what you had to go through, it was a wilderness, wasn't it? Why do we not have a theology in our prophetic river, stream, anointed, charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever we are in, group? Why don't we have a theology that is apostolic? Because Paul, the apostle, in 2 Corinthians, you know, the book nobody reads, kind of like 3 Queens. In 2 Corinthians, Paul starts out by talking about comfort and that God is the God of all comfort. Well, to have comfort means you've had to have some sorrow. You've had to have some problems. It takes a mess to bring a miracle to pass. You can't have a miracle without a mess. If you're in a mess, then you're ready for a miracle. If you're in a wilderness, then you're ready for God to speak to you and bring you out, leaning into your beloved. So the sanctification of the wilderness experience must take place in the last days church. We must have a teaching, an understanding of the processes we go through to become like Christ. I wish it were mountaintop to mountaintop. I wish it were no divorce, no bankruptcy, no pain, nobody died premature, no health issue, nothing. We're already there, right? Well, not in a fallen planet, we're not. And we must develop the spiritual strength and maturity to process properly. And I have found that every miracle is followed by a wilderness. And every wilderness is followed by a miracle. It's almost like you graduate to the next wilderness, where you can see the next miracle, where you can go through the next wilderness, only to have the next miracle released to you. Now, shall we have a class on miracles? Yeah. Well, guess where they're born? 90%+ of the miracles in the Word of God were all done in a wilderness. Not in a church meeting or a conference. Not necessarily on a mountaintop. But in a desert. A barren place. Where does creativity come from? If you're a songwriter, worshiper, author, we find those places of pain and we revisit them and we scoop out the honey out of the carcass of the lion. What once tore at me, what once came at me. Come on, somebody knows about Samson. Somebody's read the Bible here. This demon lion came after Samson because he was a daybreaker and a deliverer, and he was crossing into the Philistine territory, and that lion was supernaturally charged. It was a sphinx spirit over Philistia. The stronghold, the hierarchy of darkness over Philistia came against the deliverer named Samson. God's spirit came on him and he tore it in half. I mean, Have you done that lately? That looks good on your resume, you know. And then he went on into Gaza, wherever, to have his, you know, online date thing. And he comes back a couple weeks later, and he says, you know, I want to see that lion. And there, in the carcass of a lion, was honey. And he scooped the honey out of the carcass of a lion. You need to go back to what once came against you with a heart pure and clean, and you're going to scoop revelation out of what pain you walk through. You're going to get revelation creativity. The honey of revelation is going to fill your soul even out of the carcass of a lion. Don't shout me down. So the biggest miracle in the Old Testament, and if you were to talk to the Hebrew people, the Jewish rabbis, what is the greatest miracle of the Old Testament? They would tell you this: the Red Sea. 1 million people came through on dry ground. Of course, there's contemporary scholars that say, well, actually, where they crossed was a really shallow place, maybe 18 inches. And that's what it meant, is that Israel kind of crossed there. You know, I think, praise God, that's even a bigger miracle, because God drowned the Egyptian army in 18 inches of water. Man, wow. Any way you slice or dice it, God did a miracle. 1 million people set free because a man lingered by a burning bush until he became one and dismantled the 10 fingers of Satan. The 10 plagues were demon princes over the land, and dismantled it because of the anointing of the presence of God that Moses carried. So that miracle of the Red Sea, of course, in the New Testament, the greatest miracle of the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus. The death could not hold him. We sang it tonight. So the Red Sea is like the resurrection, in that it brought a new era. It brought a new people forth. And you know, the first thing they did on the other side of the Red Sea, as the horse and rider were floating at sunrise, and they look out and everything that had come against them was dead. The first thing they did was worship, and they sang the song of Moses. It's really a great song, really like better than you think song. And you're actually going to sing it in heaven, so you should learn it. Because Revelation 15 says we're going to sing Exodus 15 in heaven. We're actually going to sing the song of Moses in heaven. So you ought to study that song. There's secrets of revelation there. And he says the Lord is a mighty warrior. Yah is his name. Yah. Yah is not like they wanted to abbreviate Yahweh. No. Yah is raw God. Mighty God. God of power. God out of the can. Out of the box. You're not going to make him be quiet. The mighty God. Yah. He's a warrior. Yeah. You're going to need that revelation when you go into the next phase. So immediately after the miracle of the Red Sea and the worship encounter, and 90-year-old Miriam, can you see her with a walker and a tambourine leading the dance? They walked 3 days into a wilderness. Isn't it interesting? They get a miracle and then a wilderness, then a miracle. It's like a miracle sandwich, but inside of what produces the miracle. I mean, we all want the faith of Abraham. We don't want the tests he had to go through. We want the anointing of Jesus, but we don't want the wilderness test he had to go through. Every believer will have a wilderness between your promise and the promised land. So exciting here in this Episcopal church here tonight. Like, wow. Shall we close with the common book of prayer? Anybody know the name of that first wilderness? There's 10 named wildernesses in the Bible. 10. I actually, my wife and I, in our wilderness book that nobody buys, No, the people get it, and the people that get it like it, but not that I want you to get it or anything, but that's all right. In the back of the book, I name those 10 wildernesses that every believer will likely go through. There's one or two that no believer should ever, ever have to go through, the wilderness of Moab. But the other named wildernesses, the very first one, anybody remember the name? They came up out of the Red Sea, Exodus 15 here, right around verse 22. And they come up out of the Red Sea, miracles. I mean, their shoes weren't wearing out. Nobody, it was crazy. It was just miracles. And for 3 days, they walked without water in a wilderness named Shur. Everybody say, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. The wilderness of Shur, the word Shur means a wall. It's a limitation. It can be an unfulfilled marriage, a health issue unresolved, financial pressure that just seems to be there all the time. It can be a relationship issue of stress that causes you pain. It's a limitation that's held you back. It can be your own unbelief. It can be the environment you're in that does nothing but push you down. Yeah, sure. But guess what? Those 3 days of kicking sand, literally dying of thirst, brought them to a watering hole. But it was bitter, and they couldn't drink it. Isn't that amazing that the cloud of glory led them into a wilderness? It's kind of like the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. It's the same word used for casting out devils. He was driven into the wilderness. He was compelled. He was pushed by the Holy Spirit. You must go into this encounter. I just find this interesting. You know, you Methodists are really quiet here. I thought Life Center would have like... I'm totally a triumphalist, bro. I mean, you get around me, we're going to have fun. It's going to be happy, slappy. You know, I'm totally into that. Absolutely a triumphalist. Jesus triumphed over the grave and the tomb and da-da-da-da-da. He's going to come back in triumph, right? But... man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward, a wiser man than any of us said. So there are wildernesses we must go through, and the first wilderness that must be traversed is the wilderness of Shur, where you're back up against a wall, where you're literally, there's no place to go. You don't have a way out. I felt that way more than once this week. And there's always a way out. There's always a way. We know that. But faith gets tested in those wilderness experiences. And that's where we really mature. Our true, who we really are, is seen in those moments. And it may not be too pretty, but God wants us to deal with the process. And you know, Adam had to work the ground from which he was taken. And we're taken from the ground. Dirt, earth, and we must work the ground from which we've been taken and come into the fruitful place of being connected to the vine and leaning into our beloved. You will come out. You will come out on the other side just like Israel did. But you are in Fantasyville, bro. If you think that 2019 is not going to have situations that will confront you with the need of faith, joy, fresh courage, inspiration, the effervescent Jesus rising up and saying, I got this. But those are the victories that we will all celebrate, yours and mine. We'll celebrate them together. But there are those times, my friends, where we must find the hand of the master potter forming us into what he delights in. So here they are at this bitter, you know, bitter water. It's called Mara. Mara means bitter. But out of the bitter place, healing comes forth. Because God showed Moses a tree. Has he shown you that tree yet? He showed Moses a tree, and Moses took that tree or a branch of that tree and put it into the bitter waters, and it changed bitterness into sweet. It's a sweetener that's not artificial. It is the cross, the tree. It is a branch from the tree of life, the cross of our Lord Jesus. The cross makes bitter things sweet. I don't know how to say it any more clearly than that. That God wants to take your lion that you had to tear apart, the bitter experience you had to walk through, the limitation that you're up against right now, and he wants to turn it into a miracle. But the timing is in your hands. You see, we all will have a wilderness, but we don't have to have a wilderness wandering. We don't have to stay there. We can come up out of a wilderness as we lean into the strength of another, the borrowed strength of Jesus Christ. So the tree made the bitter water sweet. And the next thing they saw, that was a miracle. So you have miracle, wilderness, miracle, another miracle. They went to a place called Elim. Elim. The next day, just one day from there, was the sweet oasis of Elim. You know, Israel actually had 42 stops from leaving Egypt to going into the Promised Land. There were 42 stops. I want to write a book on those 42 journeys into the image of Christ. Because where they stopped, the name is the lesson they learned. And Elim is mighty ones. It's where sons become soldiers. And at this oasis, it had how many palm trees? Wow, I thought the Lutherans knew more of the Bible. Haven't you been in catechism? Okay. There were 70 palm trees and 12 springs. Seventy is how many Jesus sent out. And he had his 12 disciples. And he's promised us at least 70, right? By reason of strength, 80. So there's a palm tree for every year and a spring for every lover of God. You know, the word I got for this year is just the nice, sweet word, delight. The Lord told me between Christmas and New Year's, he said 2019 is going to be a year of delight. I said, tell me more. He said, I will, but go to Psalm 37:4. I said, all right. And Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in how cool you are. Right? How many wonderful things you've learned. No. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will take what you want the most and he'll give it to you. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then he's what you want the most. He's your exceeding great reward. He's what you really long for, isn't it? So I believe intimacy and revelation and these loose ends and why all the stuff has happened. You're going to see it in 2019 like never before. It's like the lid is coming off. The limitations are being broken. And revelation like a river is going to take you into the Ezekiel temple. And the glory is going to fill your heart as you look at why and what, and you scoop honey. Go back and scoop honey. It's waiting for you. In the most difficult thing you went through in 2018, look at it again and scoop out the honey, and your eyes will be bright, and the glory will come upon you. So these wildernesses are all meant to prepare a people for the glory. Jesus didn't say you'll have no troubles. He said, I will be your peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. So Paul, the apostles, the apostolic witness of the church fathers, and listen to the martyrs' cry, is that there will be wilderness sorrows in this life. But there is a source of endless joy. 70 palm trees, 12 springs, 12 months of the year, and 70 years. The 70 and 12, those numbers are so prophetic and loaded with revelation. And that's why the Holy Spirit included it there in Exodus 15. And guess what revelation God gave them there? I am the Lord that heals you. I'm the Lord that heals you. You know, you got to go through stuff to know that He is the healer. If you don't need healing, then you don't need Him. But if you need healing of anything, He is our Rapha, our healer. The precious healer is the Lord Jesus. And we're going to see Jehovah Rapha this year as never before, as supernatural healings break out, as we walk by people, as we get near them. Maybe we lay hands on a hospital instead of a person. And we see the miracles of healing as Jehovah Rapha comes into the room, comes into the region, steps into Harrisburg. So there is a well of revelation springing up in the middle of a wilderness. He will make it blossom like a rose. And that rose is Christ. And in the wilderness, He will show and prove our sonship and our true identity. When Jesus was in the wilderness, He wasn't tested over, you know, if you're the Messiah or if you're a prophet or if you are a miracle worker. It was if you're a son. If you're a son. And Jesus passed those tests because He is indeed the Son of God Himself. And He gives us a model of going through our wilderness, that we don't live by bread alone, but out of, we live from what? 300-year-old commentaries? No. Every word that proceeds, that flows right now out of the heart and mouth of God. We live, if the living word needed the written word, you might want to read the Bible too. He depended and trusted in the, it is written of God. And He brought an end to the enemy's tyranny by the triumph of His relationship with God that led Him to a cross. Every lover of God, what does it say in Revelation that they follow the Lamb wherever He goes? Well, He went to a cross. That's where lambs go. They get sacrificed. Well, what a heavy revy here. But I just feel a burden. I've never shared this message before, but I felt like it was for Life Center and for this beautiful people here in front of me. You have gone through many dangerous toils and snares. Thou hast already come. And we thanketh God for that. But as we look into 2019, we're going to look out of eyes that have been washed in the love of God, in the pool of revelation. We're going to interpret life differently this year. And we're going to look at people who are going through a wilderness differently. Because it's not not because you're evil. It's not because you've sinned and you're wicked. It's not because thou hast done muy malo. Muy malo creyente. Hecho muy malo. It's not because you've done something wrong. It's that you have high calling and promotion in your future. And to prepare you for that calling and promotion, He has uniquely designed a path for you that no one else will understand. And that's perhaps the hardest part, is you want people to get it, but they don't and they won't. Probably you haven't got theirs either. So what we do is we just understand that God will put us up against a wall to meet Him, to face Him face to face. And we let Him have His way. I want to know the ways of God in 2019. I've memorized a lot, and I've translated now a lot. I live 6 hours every day in the Word of God, but I want to know His ways. I don't want to just know letters on a page. I don't want to be a scholar of written words. I want to be a scholar of his heart. I want to know his ways of why is he unfolding this at this time. I want eyes that see and ears that hear. The Lord alone has made them. And he will give us discernment. When others are quick to judge, we would have a default to mercy. We would have a default to let mercy triumph. And our lips would be sealed from speaking foolishly things we know not of. And we'd not misinterpret the ways of God with other people. Because we're all on that journey, aren't we? And we're all in different places on that journey. And the training is unique because our calling is unique. There's no one in this room that has the same calling as you do. No one. So your training will be special. And the more he's going to use you, the more he will bewilder you. The more he will frustrate your timing, because you can know the will of God and miss his timing. And the ways of the Lord must be embraced. We enter his storms with thanksgiving. And as we get into this sacred place of not I, but Christ. Not Christ in me, Christ living in me. Huge difference between Christ in me and Christ living in me. Big difference. Not I, but Christ living in me. And the life I live, I don't live it anymore. Because I'm dead with him. But yet I live in him. And I borrow faith and love and everything I need, I borrow it now. Out of my life union with him, I'm a branch connected to a vine. I'm not the vine. I'm only valuable when I'm leaning into my beloved, when I'm living in life union with him. And I don't even have to, you don't have to try. If you're trying to be a blessing, you're not in the spirit. You don't try. It's like Jesus got up in the morning. Oh, let's see. I'm going to try to do a miracle. I'm going to try to love my disciples, those knuckleheads. I'm going to try to, maybe I can feed 1,000 and work it up to 5. I'm going to try. No, he just flowed, seeing the Father, living in the Father, union with the Father, and loving every person that came in front of his eyes. That Jesus reality of Galatians 2:20, the life I live, it's the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he gives himself for me whenever I need him. In my need, he gives himself for me. If I need love, he gives me love. If I need peace, he gives me peace. If I need to triumph over what is happening in front of me, he gives me that victory. He's Jehovah everything. So the union of the soul to Jesus is going to replace identity and destiny. Those are awesome terms. And I know S.S. Immers, that's wonderful. Get it. Okay. My identity and my destiny. I got it. Woo. But there's a higher realm. Because that's still about you with your identity and your destiny. But when it comes to union, I'm my beloved's. And he's mine. And that's the next thing to be unveiled. It'll be the next craze. I mean, better than seven mountains, better than identity and destiny, better than keeping your love on and the cultures of honor. I mean, we go on and on about the latest thing. I'm telling you, what's coming? Union. Two shall become one. And don't let the doctrines of men divide asunder what God has joined together. And in this glorious union of being with him, in him, around him. What was it, St. Patrick, in front of me, behind me. Christ in everyone who sees me. And in every word I hear and every word I speak. That everything about us will be lookalikes of Jesus. It's like 144,000 of them are coming to the earth. And this whole realm of an unveiling of a people that are supernaturally infused with the doxos, the glory of God, the radiant bride coming forth. The next thing on God's timetable is not a rapture. Whoops. It's the unveiling of a people, sons and daughters. Creation is groaning for something. And it's not another conference. What is creation groaning for and interceding and expect expecting. What is it? The unveiling of sons and daughters. That's what God's going to do. Shining ones, Daniel 12:3 are coming. Mystical lovers that live only in the Spirit every single moment of every day until Jesus rolls right out of us for about a 50-mile radius. And awakeners that have been with Jesus are going to rise on the earth. There'll be aquariums. You just see what's inside that counts. You don't put your face up and go, wow, what a wonderful glass. That's cool water. No. You see somebody swimming inside. We're see-through believers. The unveiling is coming. Mystical lovers that will not be denied, whether you applaud them or stone them and kill them, they will do only one thing, and that's love and lean into their beloved. The wilderness will teach that to you. Just ask Jacob. The midnight wrestling man had to come and pin him to the mat. I'm sure he thought it was Esau for at least a while. But the midnight wrestling man did his work. And that strong, clever, better than everybody else that can connive your way into what you want goes right out of joint. And Jacob leaned his way into the promised blessing. Jacob was a male Shulamite. So this leaning in a wilderness is going to be something you'll experience in 2019. It's so exciting to hear this, isn't it? Oh, stop. It's so exciting. You might just want to replay this about March or June. Well, he told us. This is a year of great maturing in the body of Christ. Insecure leaders are going to be replaced with lovers that don't care if our order of service even happens. If my fantabulous message that I've worked 4 days on isn't even preached. But the will of God is done. Our gatherings will look different. Our love feasts will begin to take root in our communities where we come as lovers to feast on love. The love feast. I mean, dude, somebody got to start a church. The love feast. I mean, what happened to the love feast? Can you imagine coming in and it's like, there's just a vibration of glory in the room. And you look around and there's nothing but smiles. And the one that came in a little bummed, they got prayer cocoon around them as everybody like goes after them. And the love feast where we share our lives and our failures and our victories and our joys and our sorrows. And we become a body that looks like Christ and loves like Christ. That's my dream. And I want a revival Bible to ignite a fire in the hearts of a rising millennial generation that will capture and carry something more than just, you know, the shell, the husk. So many believers today are like the man that got up in the morning to have breakfast and he got his favorite box of cereal out and poured it all out into the bowl and then ate the box. And I feel like we've done that to the Bible and we've done that to spirituality and we'll eat the form, the cardboard, but you can't live on that. And the deep revelation of the word must come and feed the sheep. Jesus told Peter, he didn't say give food to the sheep. He said, you be food for them. You feed them. Out of your relationship with me, you now feed them. You will be a meal, a love feast. God wants to make you a love feast for the world around you. That dysfunctional office, that mixed up family. Come on. He wants to make you a love feast. That you'll be the answer to the prayer of a healed family. You're going to be the answer to that prayer as healing comes into your messed up home. God is going to bring healing through you. The Jesus in you is enough to go after wayward children. It's enough to win back a husband that's lost his sanity. It's enough to bring a wife back into tender love for her husband again. This is the love revival that must come. But to get there, we have to lean into our beloved. So the first, and I won't go through the other nine because you're tired. Me too. But there's nine more. Wilderness of sin. It's not S-I-N in English. The wilderness of sin is actually clay. It's where your clay gets molded. My clay's aching, but anyway. Where the Lord puts his hand on our clay and forms us. But as we come out of all these wildernesses, one or two of you got that. That's good. We become a different people. A holiness that is like winsome, not uppity and weird, but a alluring, attractive anointing of a Jesus that is in us as we lean into him. We get out of our cranky, critical stuff. Now, you Pennsylvania people are really nice. You don't have any of that, but any from another state that's here or watching online, you got to come out of that murmuring and complaining, you know, and realize that God has a purpose. He's raising up sons and daughters and unveiling them to the world. And the great revelation of Jesus Christ will be seen in the last days as a people of lovers rise that are in it for one thing, Jesus. Espiritu Santo. Espiritu Santo. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Signs and wonders. I'll tell you what, biggest sign that'll make you wonder is inside of you. And that's the purpose of the miracle of the wilderness, and the miracle to follow is that you come out a different person. Why did you have to go through that? So you would look like Jesus. Man, I wish we had time, each of us, you know, I could hear your story. What you've gone through, you know, you could buy me coffee and we'd go and talk. And I know it'd be fascinating because I love hearing the stories of what people have gone through. And I know some of the stories of some of you in this room. And you're coming out of this so much like Jesus. So if there is any painful moment in 2019, make it into a fountain of creativity. An incubator for the miraculous. And that master potter will come and make you into that vessel that carries, like Mary, the glory of God, a container of the Christ, a dispenser of the divine. Your face is going to shine. Your spirit is going to be ignited. And people who know you the best are going to say, "What happened to you? I don't know who you are anymore. You're not the same person." As God Almighty puts his hand on you, he takes you into the Midbar desert to speak to you. It may be a still small voice, but he's going to get his message through. because there's a high calling on your life. You will never give up. Though your wilderness lasts longer than you want, you will not give up. Because there's someone inside of you that carries you on. Marah's bitter waters will be turned sweet, refreshing, and will lead you to the oasis where sons become mighty ones. Elam. Elim. Would you stand, please? I'm going to ask you to respond to this message. And what I'm going to ask is that if you have been in a wilderness, you're coming out of it, you know you are, come down and let me pray for you real quick. If you feel like you've been tested, and like, why is it? I thought I already learned that lesson, and yet you end up getting tested again. You come down. Matter of fact, y'all come down. And we'll squish in and be like friends and family here. So get squishable. Yeah. Holy Spirit is going to be doing wonderful things in you this year. And we're going to let Him, aren't we? When I pastored a wonderful church and Holy Spirit kind of took it over from time to time, I took it back from time to time, and then He took it back. You know, we kind of had a tug of war, but He ended up taking it, you know. I remember praying a prayer. I said, Lord, just come any way you want to. Come any way you want to. What if we were to pray that tonight? What if He were to come and flatten every one of us with His glory? And the manifestation of fire erupted. Or a coal of fire was sent out of heaven and sizzled your lips. I have a good friend, a great church, Connecticut. Great church. He prayed for over 30 years, every single day, Lord, show me your glory. One day he was closing. He had three Sunday services, closing his early service. It was Mother's Day, and he said, honestly, all I could think about was getting back to my office to wrap up, because I hadn't wrapped up my wife's present for Mother's Day. So he, in kind of like casual way, he wanted to close the meeting. So he had said, just said, Lord, show us your glory. Bam! A fireball visible came from the back of the room and knocked this dear pastor on his face under the keyboard. And for the next two services, he shrieked like a 12-year-old girl. All he could do was, ah! And it was Mother's Day, and everybody brought their moms. And one of the moms leaned over to her daughter and said, would you somebody tell that girl to shut up? It's the pastor. And for the next 12 weeks, we went into nightly meetings. He said, Brian, you've got to come. I don't know what's happened, but come and help me. So we did. We alternated and did the evening meetings in the glory. But what if you say, come any way you want to? What if you were to come and like just, dude, like call you to Kenya or something? Say, well, don't, you know, come any way but that way, Lord. Would you pray that prayer? Lord, come any way you want to. come to me any way you want to, Lord. I trust you. Go ahead and tell him. You're my safe place. You're my hideaway. You're my hiding place. I come to you even as you come to me. Now, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would break discouragement or any lingering anxiety about 2019. That you would break it off every mom, dad, boy, girl, man, woman in this church. Everybody under 100. That you would break anxiety, fear, any concern of our health, our family, our future. Lord, that we would be riveted to your purposes, even as Jesus was nailed to a cross. That we would carry the purpose of God. We would carry that cross, the purpose of God, with us. We take it up and take the ways of God with us. So, Lord, you don't need permission, but you got it. Any way you want to, Lord. Come in our dreams tonight. Mess with us in our dreams. Begin to stir us. Job 33, warn us if need be, but speak to us, Lord. Don't be silent, Lord. Speak to your servants, for we are listening, Lord. So we thank you for the place of speaking that brings us into sonship. And we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bro, you got a prophetic song in you. I'd love to hear it. No pressure. But you've been through some things, and God has made you strong. I see you really made strong. Out of weakness, you've been made strong. Some family pressures and a lot of other things that we don't even need to go there. But God has really strengthened you and blessed you. And it's like weeping endured for your night, but joy has now broken forth. And wow, are we blessed because of that relationship you have. But you have spirit of creativity and songwriting and anointing. And would you just give vent to that here with us as we close our eyes and we worship? Our eyes are not on him, although he's really awesome. But as we worship tonight, would you bring us in? Thank you, Jesus.
Comes only from you in the season when it seems like it shouldn't rain, but it comes anyway, and the flowers of our hearts begin to bloom. The root of our hearts begin to shine. So in us, God, we reach down deep in our hearts, God, we find you, Jesus, we find your love, we find your mercy, oh, and I hear you say, I am with you through the storm.
Yes.
I am with you
Believe me, he says. Believe me. I am strong, your mighty warrior. I will not lead you where my grace cannot carry you. Lift your hands to the sky. I will be your mighty deliverer. I will turn bitterness into sweet, raging lions into honeycomb. I will turn a dark, cold tomb into the light of resurrection glory. Though for a moment you have walked through a difficult day, but for everlasting I will be your God, and underneath you will be my everlasting arms. I will carry you, for I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. The nail print reminds me of my love for you. You were in my mind when I prayed in Gethsemane. You were the joy that was set before me. Now set me as the joy before you. And delight yourself in me, regardless of what is around you, what appears to be this or that. For I am the mighty warrior, your lover. Lean into me. Lean in weakness, lean, and I will be strength. I will be strength in you, and I will give you a song again. I will make my life in you into the lyrics of your song. For I am with you to deliver you and to set you on high places where none can touch you. For I am your anointed deliverer. I am your Prince of Peace. Would you put your hands together and praise Jesus now tonight? Would you thank him? Oh, come on. Come on, Baptists. Thank you for that honeycomb, Lord Jesus. Every lion we face is but a future feast. Amen. All right, I will turn the meeting over to Paul or whoever. John? Fred? Love you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Come on. Come here. Thank you. Wow, really in. I thought it was a very pivotal word tonight, very important for our lives. Didn't you agree tonight? And just take it into your heart. I'm going to listen to this several times and took serious notes on it. So, listen, Brian's going to do a book signing out in the lobby. We're going to give him a chance to connect with him, and he'll go as long as he can. He's still got 3 days to go yet, so I'm going to give him a break here. But still, get a chance if you want to get his book. So just put a hand on the shoulder beside you in any of your appropriate way. No weirdness, but all happiness and cleanness. So. We're very thankful to be here tonight. We're thankful that we heard these words and you've captured our heart and ignited us. God, we pray, blow on this ember tonight that it becomes a fire, raging fire toward you in the months and days ahead. God, help us at every crossroads truly to choose you. God, let me pray that temptation would be far away from us and our desire to be with you would lead our hearts. Every leaning, every step towards you, we would be encouraged and strengthened. God, keep our secret life. Help us keep it before you. Help us, Lord, to keep a secret life this year. Deep, protected, hidden in you. God, and then let it come out any way you want to. But these first weeks, God, set the course of our life for you this year. God, such great words. So challenging and so much in it, Lord. We're in this for life. We're in this for the life of you in us to live your life. We pray for strength of the person left and right. God, we pray for your constant prompting, your Holy Spirit encouraging, with the angel of protection. And God, you're finding them and they're finding you at every turn. Bless Brian. We pray surrounding him and Candace with your angelic protection, practically, relationally, spiritually, at every turn. They would only be invigorated over these 3 days. A chance to be with you and be with friends. Pour out, but be poured into as well. Bless this time. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Now tell someone, man, you look way better. Come on, tell them now, seriously. Got in the nick of time. Hey, you're released. If you have children, please pick them up. If you have children, please go right away. Get them and love on the children's workers. Thanks so much.